Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I was just wanted to listen as that song played through. It won't be like this always. I can see the future. It looks better. That's what they were saying. Come on, somebody. That's how God's people, that's how God's people should speak. It's not going to be like this always. Things will be better. And then to now be bold to make a prophetic declaration to say, I can see the future. And it looks better.
Yes, it does.
And see, if we are in that mindset, you're smiling today. You're happy today.
Yeah.
You're rejoicing today. Because right where you are today, you say, I can see the future, and it looks better. Amen. How can you then be have a frown on your face? See, and I think that's the thing. Sometimes the people of God, I believe, almost like the people of the world. Let something happen to me, and then. That's why nothing happens. You know what I mean? You can't wait for it. So I just love that. I mean, you know, the song was playing and, you know, and it plays, you know, songs play in the background all the time. But then there's times it comes out of the background and grabs you and say, listen. Listen to what I'm saying. Right? So we can see the future and it looks better. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we praise God tonight. Your future looks better. That's good news right there.
Yes, it is.
As a child of God, your future is better. Amen. So we praise God for that. Thank God for a great future that we have in God. Amen. Amen. Thank God for today. Thank God Brandy's back.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Say passage, faithfulness of God one more time.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Do not take it for granted. We praise God for it. Amen. Let's pray, and we'll continue our Bible study. We're talking about ministry brings the blessing. Serving other people brings blessings into our lives. Amen? But let's pray tonight, and then we'll look at scripture in Matthew chapter 20. Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that our future looks better, oh God. Father, we thank you for the better. We thank you, God, that you're bringing us into a better time, a better season, oh God, where, Father God, that we will be better as people, oh God, and we will have better and do better in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we thank you for better tonight. And, Father, we also thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, God, for bringing us here one more time and everything that you've done, oh God, the things that we've seen, the things that we did not see. Father, your faithfulness on display, oh God, bringing us here tonight that we may hear your voice. Father, it's your voice we want to hear. It's your words, oh God, that we desire to receive in our hearts. So, Father, we're praying and asking you, God, to speak by your Spirit. Speak through your word. Bless us with listening ears and allow us to hear you tonight that we may come away, God, with the words that we need, the revelation that we need, the guidance, direction, and even, God, the correction that we need, that, Father God, that we can live triumphant lives to the praise of your glory. Father, let your word just flow freely, O God, and, Father God, let us soak it up like a sponge in the name of Jesus Christ, and, God, that we may walk out of this place transformed. Father, I thank you right now for all the deposits that shall be made, and, Father, as we prepare to hear your voice, we resist the enemy and all his evil schemes, O God. We say he is a defeated foe. He has no right here, O God. So we resist him in the faith. And Father, we thank you, God, that right now everything is set for us to hear from you. Speak, Lord, thy servants hear it. And we bless you, O God, and praise you with all our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, praise God. Ministry brings a blessing. We started talking about this last week in connection with the feeding of the 5,000 and the idea that God blesses, we can receive blessings of God in so many ways. I mean, God, how many of you know God blesses us in so many ways?
Yeah, amen.
God blesses us, and none of us deserve blessing. Thank you, Lord. None of us deserve blessings. And that's a good thing right there, that none of us deserve blessing, because then we got to go, what's on the flip side of that? Because sometimes we believe we deserve punishment. Isn't that interesting? That we readily will say, I don't deserve blessing. None of us deserve blessing. We'll all agree. But, you know, there's a part of us that believes, well, if I don't do right, well, then I brought that on me, kind of a thing. But you got to understand something, and we have to understand. Jesus was fully punished for us on Calvary's cross. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't mean we won't, get some circumstances for, you know, some bad circumstances, and God won't discipline us and all those types of things. But the idea of punishment, right, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But sometimes we walk with a little bit of a punishment mentality. It sort of stems from our kid days. You get a good grade, you expect, hey, good grade. Oh, you come home with a D. You need to be thinking, oh, I'm going to get punished. I'm going to get grounded. And that's sort of in our mind, you know, that, okay, if I do bad, then I deserve to get punished. But isn't that what grace and mercy is about? We do deserve to get punished. But the grace and mercy of God says, no, my son bore the punishment for your sin. Doesn't mean we don't get corrected, but how many of you know there's a difference between correcting your child and punishing your child? Right? You can correct your child. You can even discipline your child, but there's punishment sort of brings with that sort of, like, you know, I'm going to make you pay. But see, if Jesus paid the whole price, it's nothing for us to pay. Some of us got to stop trying to pay what Jesus already paid. Amen. So ministry brings a blessing. And God, we're saying, God blesses us in so many ways. We don't deserve it. Sometimes he blesses us when we don't even ask. That's how good he is, right? God will give us things we didn't even ask for. Anybody ever got a blessing from God that you didn't ask for?
Amen.
Right? God is that good that he'll bless us and his children with things because, you know, even that's just the way he is, whether we ask for it or not. So we're not trying to say that when we say ministry brings the blessing, saying, well, that's the only way you're going to be blessed. No. First of all, we're blessed because we're saved. Right? He hath blessed us. Amen. We're already blessed. He's blessed us in the heavenly realms. He's blessed us here in the earthly realm. We already are blessed. I don't know about you, but I think there are some people in the body of Christ who want to continue to be blessed. Amen. I don't know. I just think that. I think that there's some who say, yeah, I'm blessed, but I'll take some more. How many of you want... I would like to receive every last blessing that God has for me.
Amen.
I mean, I want every one of them. And it's not because I'm greedy, it's because I'm grateful. Amen. You know what I'm saying? It's not that you're greedy, it's because you're grateful.
Amen.
You know, if you're a kid and you get 10 Christmas presents at Christmas, you should open them all.
Amen.
You would be ungrateful if you left two of them over there. I'm not opening those. What do you mean not opening those? Somebody paid a price for those gifts under that tree. You better go open those gifts.
Amen.
And so for us, amen, we have the gift of salvation. We got the gift of and all that comes with it. And I want everything that God has for me. He picked it out. He decided. I want my son to have this. I want my son to have that. I want my daughter to have this. I want my daughter to have that. And how dare I say, no, God, that's okay. I don't need that. When he knows all. Amen? You have something for me, God? Father, I will take it in the name of Jesus Christ. So I want all the blessings that God gives unto us. And I believe that even though God blesses us when we don't ask, and God blesses us when we don't deserve, and God blesses us in ways we don't see, I believe, though, that as we see and get in line with the heart of God, we can then live lives that just lead to him. That blessing just gets heaped upon blessing. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that. You see it in the Bible. That those whose hearts are in line with it, he has no problem lavishing things. Look what he did to Solomon. What did Solomon, God came to Solomon in a dream and said, ask me, what do you want? He said, give me wisdom so I can lead your people. That thing so pleased God. He said, you didn't ask for all these other things. You didn't ask for protection. You didn't ask for money. You didn't ask for victory over your enemies. He said, I'm going to give you wisdom. There's going to be none wiser than you. But, you know, you didn't ask for all those things, but I'm going to give you those anyway. Why? Because his heart was in line with his. And he said, oh, you have it right, Solomon. You just want to lead my people. I'm going to bless you. So when our heart is in line with God, God, I believe, he's already a generous God, but then he's like, he kicks it into overdrive. And when it comes to serving other people, that is in line with the heart of God. God wants us to serve other people, to help other people, to bless other people, to be there for other people, to support other people. That's why this idea of just trying to take care of ourselves, it's so counter to our own well-being, because it sort of puts a halt, if it could, or at least slows down that outpour of God that he would like to do in our lives, because God does not like selfishness. How many of you know that? God doesn't like selfishness. He doesn't like us believing and thinking of ourselves. We remember the man who wanted to build a bigger barn. God called that man a fool. Yeah, you have all this stuff now. The only thing you can think about is tearing down a perfectly good barn to build a bigger barn so that you can put your excess stuff in there and then sit down and just enjoy it on yourself. You fool, I'm taking you out of here tonight. God doesn't like selfishness, right? So, but he loves it when we're unselfish. He loves it when we sacrifice ourselves, our time, our energy, our talent, our resources to help somebody else. But when he sees that, he says, now I'm going to help you. So if we want to keep it and stay in that flow of blessings, I believe we got to develop that servant heart, which at bottom is the heart that Jesus had. Jesus was a servant. And if we have that heart, God is pleased, and then I tell you, you better watch out, because blessings are going to be coming from every direction. So let's look at Matthew chapter 20. And in verse 20, it talks about the mother of Zebedee, James and John. Remember them, they're the sons of thunder. And she comes, and she's worshiping Jesus. And he asks her, what does she want? And she had a request. It was a specific request. She said, grant that these my two sons may sit on one on the right hand and the other on your left in thy kingdom. She, like any mother, wanted her children to be successful. So she went to Jesus and said, put them in positions of authority. Put one on the right, put one on the left, but let them be right next to you. And Jesus said to her, you don't know what you're asking for. There's some things that go with being in such a position. Are they able to deal with that? And they told him, yeah, Jesus, we're able. He said, okay, we'll see about that. You are going to have to deal with the things I go through. When we get down to verse 25, the other disciples were upset. So Jesus spoke to them to try to calm their nerves. And he said to them, he said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, or over the people. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. They push them around. They let them know who's the boss, that kind of a thing. Verse 26, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus said here, when they're looking for greatness, these two sons of Zebedee. And Jesus said, if you want to be great, you don't do it like the world does it. you know, the world is about, okay, you're in a position of power, and now you use that power over people. You let them know who's in charge. You let them know who's the boss. You let them know who you are. How many times have you heard a celebrity got in trouble or getting ready to get kicked out of a store or wasn't going to be allowed into a club or the police pulled them over? Something like that happened. Or the stewardess told them, you got to, you know, turn off your phone now. Or, you know, something like that happened. And the celebrity said, do you know who I am? What are they saying? I'm somebody of influence. I'm somebody important. You better let me in. You better let me use my phone. Even though it may interfere with the equipment on the plane, I don't care. I got a very important call for me. That's what they're saying, right? I'm important. Do you know who I am? Zebedee's sons wanted to be important. But Jesus said, if you want to be important, if you want to be great, serve somebody. Is that the way you think about greatness? I know the answer now is, of course, yes, since Jesus said it. So maybe we just leave that alone. Everybody nods their head and says, yes, yes, that's the way I think about greatness. Is that the way the world thinks about greatness? How does the world think about greatness when how do they take greatness and service in the same sentence? What would be an indication that someone is great when it comes to service?
They have a lot of people serving
them. That they're the ones being served, right? Yeah, exactly. If they're being served, then that shows that they are of importance. But see, Jesus always turns the things of the world on their head. You know, when he says things like, the last will be first, and the first will be last. See, the world don't understand that, right? You know, everything's about being first. Leo DeRocher, I guess, or somebody, one of those old baseball men said, nice guys finish last. Maybe it was Casey Stengel, Leo DeRocher, one of them. Nice guys finish last. See, the world says that kind of stuff. Are you nice? You're going to finish last. But if you last, Jesus says, see, but if you're last, Jesus said, I'm going to make you first. So if you're going to be great, serve somebody. Serve somebody. Why do you think, though, that even in the church, it seems that service doesn't seem to be highly esteemed by even God's own people? I'm not talking now, but let's. You hear a lot of people talk about ministry, my ministry. I'm in this ministry. I'm in that ministry, right? But it's almost like some people like being up front. I'm using my gifts, talents, and abilities. But what about actually serving people? What kind of heart do you need to serve people? God's heart. Okay. All right. Let's break it down some more, though.
Humble heart.
Huh?
Need to be humble.
Need to be humble. Yeah. Well, what do you mean?
Nothing.
You gotta have a loving heart.
Passion.
Yeah.
Patient.
Mm-hmm. Gotta be kind. Mm-hmm. Right. You need some qualities in order to serve people. So what does it say then if, and I'm not talking about anybody here and not talking about anybody in particular, but if you're a child of God and service is something that's difficult for you, that probably is not a good testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we need humility and patience and love and compassion and kindness in order to serve other people, and yet we have a difficulty doing it, that may not be a good testimony. But here's the wonderful thing. Everything we need to serve somebody else, God has given it to us. No one can say, I don't have the ability to serve. Because God, when he sent Jesus Christ, Jesus is a servant, right? Jesus came, he said that he came not to be ministered unto, he He says here in verse 28, but to minister. So I didn't come for people to serve me, but I came to serve other people and to give my life a ransom for many. And we're and God wants us to be conformed to the image of the Son, meaning that He wants us to be like Jesus. And if Jesus had this servant mentality, then we should have it too. But God is not ever going to want us and put us in a position to do something and not equip us to do it. We're equipped to do it. And that's the good news. So really, if someone says, well, I have a hard time serving. No, that is in you. Maybe some things have to be developed. Maybe some things have to be cultivated. But it's in you. Everyone who's saved by God can be a servant, and in fact should be a servant. We all should be servants. Can you imagine what would happen if everyone who was in the church served? I mean, everyone just served. Everyone was like, what can I do? What can I do? Can I help? Can you imagine? We turn this world upside down. Can you imagine if every born-again believer not only did that in church, but did that on the job site? Did that in the community, we would really be making a difference in this world. But God wants us to be servants, amen, have that servant mentality. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 9, God said, you know, in verse 23 and 24, He said, don't boast because you have a whole lot of money. Don't boast because you have positions. Don't boast because of some things that you've done. But if you want to boast, boast in this. Boast that you know me. Right? You want to brag about something? You brag that you know me. But if we know, how many people know God? If we know God, how is that going to play out in our lives? You know God. What does that look like? Then on the man who knows God, what does that look like?
Servanthood.
You know, I watch your shows, and Judge Judy say, don't try to figure out where I'm going. Just answer the question. Yeah, but no question, servanthood. But in a broader sense, you know what it looks like? It looks, that man, that woman, does things that God would do. In all kinds of ways. In all kinds of ways. Being encouraging, being helpful, right? Being a servant, doing all these types of things. But, you know, if you say, you know, that person, you know, yeah, that person walks with God, it's because that person acts like God. Right? That person acts like God. So we see here, though, something that's important. Jesus says, if you want to be great, serve somebody. Is there anybody here who has no problem saying that they want to be great? Who wants to be great? I do. I want to be great. So what's the thing? Very good. Is that next? I don't know what you would put after, you know, if you're great is at the top, what's after that? Very good. Good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Super great.
Super, no, underneath.
Underneath great.
Oh, yeah.
Good. That's all right. That's good. You good. How you doing? I'm good. Don't have the same ring to it. How you doing? I'm great. Ask somebody. I mean, even in conversation. People say good now, they're like, right? How you doing? I'm good. They even say it like that with a little bit of, they're like, what's that for? What's that for? I'm good. They say with that kind of a tone, like, no big deal. I'm good. I want to be good. Now, but see, you can't say great like that. How you doing today? I'm great. You gotta go, I'm great. You can't even say that. It just even pulls you to a higher place. I'm great. And then if people attend, they go, yeah, what's going on? When you say something, I'm good. Okay. But God wants us to be great in all ways. Is God great?
Yes, He is.
Okay. Is God on the inside of us?
Yes.
So if we're not great, doesn't that mean that we, in some way, we must be stifling God from working in our lives? Because how could a great God, who's living on the inside of us, not make us great?
Right.
Unless somehow we are doing something to quench the Spirit of God from working on the inside of us. See, this is what I was talking about before. Remember me saying, I want everything that God has for me. You know what God has for me? Greatness. Amen. I want to be great. Not because of me, but because God wants me to be great. Doesn't mean I want to be a star. Accolades, and all, who cares about that? Right? But everything you do, you say, I want to be great. I want to be great. And great where? Great for who? Great by what standards? Great in God's eyes. And know what God said makes people great? Serving other people. So guess what? I want to be great. Right? Jesus said, if you want to be great, whosoever among you will be great, let him be your minister. Let him be your servant. So I know what I sign up for. Do you think maybe that's why Christians have a hard time saying I want to be great? Because deep down somewhere they heard this scripture. And Jesus said, if you want to be great, serve other people. They're like, that's all right. I'm good. I'm good. That's all right. I'll stay over here. I'm good. That great stuff. If it come like that, it come, sir, no, I'm good. We should want to be great, but to be great in God's eyes, not this world's eyes. So you know what that means? Greatness doesn't mean you got to have the best car, the best house, the best kids, the best dog, the best goldfish, the best, the most amount of money. You don't got to have all that. It's about just doing things for other people. That's what makes you great. And think about that. God, you think God knows a thing or two about greatness?
Yeah.
And if God says that makes me great, then you know what? Then that makes me great. I'd rather be great in the eyes of God and every other man on earth despise me than the other way around. Mm-hmm. Everybody else think I'm great, but God despises me. Amen? Let God be true, every man alive. I want God to look down at him.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. But how do you get there? God wants us to serve. Okay. So let's think about this in terms of practical application. Who can we serve?
Family.
Your family? Mm-hmm. So, and how do we, let's just play it out. So, and how do we serve family? Like, what are the type of things we can do to serve family? Okay, that's what I'm trying. Trying to get to some specifics. Okay, so you can make them some food?
Yeah.
Make them some food, what, if they're sick?
No, just in general.
Oh, so even if they're feeling fine, you make them some food?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do some of the household chores.
Okay, and do some chores around the house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. What about other people outside the house? You're not going to be making them some food, are you? What about your neighbor? How can you serve your neighbor?
Mow their lawn.
Mow their lawn?
Mm-hmm.
You're going an extra mile.
Yeah, you're going
you take it to the house. You're going the extra mile. What about this? What about serving your neighbor by being a good neighbor? Have your party, but don't blast your music. Hmm? Go out there, you know. Neighbor's mailbox is open and stuff about to blow out. You go over there and close it and go, look at his mailbox open. Right? But you can serve, right? The bottom line is this. We can serve at home, school, in the community, on the job, in the church, anywhere we are, if we see a need and go to meet that need. And not just need. Sometimes you can serve someone because they want something. But the bottom line is that we become sensitive to other people and to what's going on around us. If we're not sensitive and aware of what's going on around us, it's hard to serve. Because you need to see what's going on and be sensitive and aware of those things and say, I'm going to go do that. I tell you this, and I believe this is the same thing with God. I really do believe this. People who really have a special place in my heart are those people who do the things that are needed or something that's helpful without anybody asking them. They just saw it. They see it and they do. And they just do it and go about their business. They don't broadcast afterwards. They don't at some point. There's two kinds of people. There's one who do things and they broadcast afterwards. And then there's the other ones who I think are really, you got to keep an eye on, are the ones who don't say anything, act like they don't want to, but in the back of their mind, they're just waiting for somebody to mention what they did. And if they don't get that mention, at some point, it's going to come back up about what they did and how nobody said it. But man, when you have a heart that just says, I just do it and you go, and nobody even knows, or somebody even, you know. And know what I really love? You ever been in a position where you've done something like that and nobody knows, and then somebody acknowledges, hey, who did this? And you have an opportunity to go, I did it, but you still don't say anything? That really shows, I don't care about that. I'm just glad. Because you made you over here and go, oh, man, this is nice. Who did this? And you just over here saying, thank you, Lord. I believe God loves that. Amen. That God loves that, because he knows there's a purity in that heart that says, I'm not doing this for myself or anything like that. I'm doing it because somebody needs it and somebody can be blessed by it. Amen? So, we have the ability. God's calling us to greatness, but where is greatness found? In service. Serving other people. Amen? Serving other people. I believe that if more people who are in business had that kind of a mentality in the heart, they'd be so successful, they wouldn't know what to do. It's amazing you go places and the difference between good service and bad service. You know? And when people serve you good, in you know, when you go to a restaurant or anywhere else, you remember that. You remember that. It has a power. It definitely has a power. All right, let's look at let's look at Luke chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 38. As we do. God understands that when you and I and his people serve other people and do things for other people, he understands you're giving up something. Every one of us has a choice to make. And we have many choices to make throughout every day, right? We have choices to make of how we use our time, how we use our resources, everything. You know, none of us, and here's the thing, none of us have to do anything for anybody else. You don't. No one's going to force you. Not even God is going to force you to do something for someone else. So when you and I make a choice to do something for someone else, God knows that's an exercise of your free will, and that you are giving up something in order to do it. Could be something small, could be something great, but you're giving up something. You give up your time, right? You know, Christian was talking about you made food for somebody else. Well, you could have went in there and just made your own sandwich and been sitting down enjoying it. But now you're making another sandwich or another two sandwiches. Well, that takes some more time, right? You know, to do anything for somebody else, you make a decision to say, I could otherwise use this time on myself. I could read a book. I could watch my favorite TV show. I could take a nap. I could go shopping. But instead, I'm going to do something for someone else. God knows that. Right? Think about that, and I praise God for this. Think about that the next time, you know, it's on your heart to call somebody. But you don't, you know, sometimes calling like, man, I might be on the phone for the next 45 minutes, and I'll just send them a text. You know what I mean? Think about that the next time. Yeah, it is going to cost you something, but if that person needs you, needs to hear your voice, needs support, or needs some advice, think about that and then say, you know what, I'm doing this because this is what God would have me to do. It shows His heart, right? Has God done anything for you? Of course He has, amen. God does things for us every day. I believe one of the best ways to thank God is to now turn around and do something for somebody else. Right? If you know God has done something for you, one of the best ways to say thank you is to turn around and do something for somebody else. Amen. All right, so let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 38. And he, Jesus, arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Amen. So Peter's mother-in-law, Simon Peter's mother-in-law is sick, has a fever. And, you know, one of the things I like about this scripture is that it says that, and they besought him for her. You know, the disciples, you know, they saw Simon mother-in-law sick, and they went to Jesus and said, Jesus, can you help her? They besought him for her. I think we should all be in that kind of a mindset as well. We see somebody have an issue, besought him for her. You know what I mean? Go to Jesus and can you help? We all have, like, certain sensitivities to things that, you know, somebody will see something. You walk with people, you see something, and they don't. They see something that you don't. They respond to something and they go, what? And you're both right there, but it caught their attention and not yours, or vice versa. You know, when I'm out in the street, especially when I go to New York, one of the things that catches my attention is people who have trouble walking. I don't know why, but when I see someone, they either could be in a chair or they could be limping or they could have a deformity. But there's always something about people who have trouble walking that I don't even know why, but it pulls my attention in. And as I see them, it's like, it almost invariably I will say, Lord, bless them in their legs. I don't know why. I guess maybe because walking is so important, you know what I mean? And walking is like, and especially in New York City, when everybody's walking a mile a minute, and they seem like at such a disadvantage, you know what I mean? That there's a vulnerability there in this hustle and bustle environment, and you're struggling to move along. But I think when, you know, we all have certain things, we might see it, and something pulls on our heart, especially, and we'll say, Lord, bless that person. And I think those are the types of things when you just go to God for people. You know, you see them struggling, you see them sick, and your heart goes, God, help them. You know? And I'm talking about those things that maybe you can't do anything with. You know what I mean? You see somebody with legs or deformity, you can't go over there and change things right away. Like the power of God is really on you. Amen? And you're walking in a high level of faith. But, you know, but you can still be beseech God for them. And so that's what it was with the disciples. They saw Peter's mother-in-law, she was really sick. And they came to Jesus and said, Lord, help her. And it says he stood over her and rebuked the fever. Remember we were talking about, I don't know if it was Sunday or Monday. Yeah, it was Monday when we were put up our praying, like just imitating things you see in the Bible. How Hezekiah laid out the book and laid it before God and prayed. I'm telling you, lay out your bills before God and pray. Lord, I'm laying them out. Lay out your plans before God and pray. I like imitating things in the Bible. You see this picture? You see this picture? Peter's mother-in-law is laying sick with the fever. And it said, Jesus, what did Jesus do? stood over her. And then what? And rebuked the female. Sister Nell, next time you sick, don't even ask me what I'm doing. I'm going to stand over you and rebuke it. Come on, somebody. I think those are the type of things. But here's the thing. Yeah, we laugh at this, but don't you understand something? Many sons, young sons, and many daughters even, love to imitate their dad. I remember that picture a long time ago of a little kid had on his father's suit, so drowning him, and he's standing in his father's shoes, so big for him, and had on a hat, so big for him, standing. And sometimes you see him, they just flopping in the shoe, you know, trying to. Why? Because they see their dad do it, and they want to do it. I'm telling you, when I see Jesus do something, I want to do that too. Amen. I want to do that too. Amen. So stand over that for me, stand over that person and rebuke not the person, but the fever. Some of us rebuke the person. You ain't sick. You need to get out. Jesus didn't do that. He rebuked the fever.
Amen.
You just fake it. So he rebuked the fever and left her immediately. And here's the thing. He left her, and immediately she arose and started serving. See, that's the thing for us. Amen. Jesus does something for her, she turns around and does something for other people. That's how it has to be. God does something for us, we need to want to turn around and do something for other people. And here's the thing, God's always doing something for us, isn't he?
Always.
You know what that means? That means we're always in position to do things for other people. Great or small, amen? Great or small. But it's something I believe we should take on because God wants us to have that kind of heart, right? Because it reflects His heart in the earth. And God wants nothing more than to have people who represent Him well in the earth. When Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we are ambassadors for Christ, that means we are His representatives. That's what an ambassador is, right? A government representative, in fact. But we are His representative. We're going to end here. I just want to say this about that representative part. Because I know Brother Les and I have had some conversations about, you know, you have an employee. He works for you. He's his own person. Has his own name. I don't know how, you know, maybe he's been working with you for 10 years, but prior to that, he had his own life. Maybe he had nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. Right? He has his own way of thinking. You know, some cultural things along the way. Some experiences from his past job. Yeah. And you know what? That's all well and good. But when you come work for this company, guess what? You have to represent. Yeah. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
You got to represent this company. So guess what? We've been saved all these years. You know, maybe we've been saved or maybe not been saved. But watch this. Once Jesus does save you, guess who you have to represent? It's not about your individuality. This is not about you and I are ambassadors for Christ. And guess what? We are His representatives. So we have to go forward, amen, and represent Him well. Remember years ago, I don't even know how long, maybe it could have been 20. I might age myself. But there were times when people used to say, represent. Remember that's all they used to say? You better represent. Remember that? That was the thing, man. If people thought they were cool, they said that. You better represent. Well, I'll tell you this. If you're an ambassador for Christ, you better represent. And you don't represent yourself because it's not your agenda, it's not your kingdom. It's His kingdom and it's His agenda. And you know what he says goes on in His kingdom as far as what's great in His eyes? When His children serve other people. Better represent. You belong to God? Better represent. Serve other people. Amen. Because that's what's on God's mind. And then if we get in line with what's on God's mind, if he transforms our mind, he transforms our heart. And then that scripture in Proverbs or Psalms comes true that says, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Because now you're in line with him. Amen. And there's no better way to be in line with him than to have this idea of, I'm going to serve somebody, I'm going to help somebody, I'm going to be compassionate, loving, kind, giving, all those things. Right? Yes. Amen. All right, so we'll stop here, amen, and we'll come back on next week. And probably what I'm hoping to do is by Sunday, maybe just have foundational scripture text for next week. Amen? Even though we're going to be looking back at the feeding and everything else, the feeding of the 5,000. But we just want this to get into our spirit, amen, of serving other people. That's so important, amen, that we serve other people. God wants us to do that.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, we praise you, and we thank you, Lord, that Jesus declared it himself that he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give of himself for others. That's our example. That is our hope, that we too would have that heart, that we look not for people to serve us, but for opportunities to serve other people. We believe, God, that it is so important unto you that your people show forth who you are in the earth. And so we want to do that. And there's no better way of doing it, no more powerful way of doing it than to be a minister and a servant unto those who are in need. Help us, oh God, to take up this mantle, oh God, and to walk according to your will, that we serve others, bless others, help others. And Father, let us not look far. Let us look in our own homes, in our own, on our own jobs, in our own communities, oh God. We don't have to travel the world to serve other people, oh God. Father, we can do it right where we are. We're asking you to open our eyes to all of the opportunities that we have to serve. And Father God, then let us go forward in the power of God and in the faith of God and go forward and be a blessing unto others, that you may be glorified. Yeah. Jesus said that we should let our light so shine that others may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. That is our desire, God, that as we serve, you'll be glorified. So, Father, we bless you right now. We thank you, Lord. Continue to work on us and make us more like you. And, Father God, we thank you even now for the opportunities to serve and to be a blessing unto others. And we believe that as we do, the blessings of God will continue to flow in our lives. And we just give you the praise for it. Father, we thank you and we give you glory. Now, God, as we prepare to leave, Father, we just ask you to guide us on our way home, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, and bless us with your presence on tonight. And Father God, continue to show yourself strong in our lives. We love you. We praise you. There is none like you anywhere, God. And we just give your name all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a teaching of the On Good Ground Christian Fellowship, where Minister Jeff Fennell is pastor. We pray that you have been encouraged by the word. Feel free to share this CD with someone, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For more information on our ministry, visit the web at www.ongoodground.org. May the Lord God bless you real good as you continue your walk with Him.